Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, partly sunny, we'll have a high in the low 70s. Forecast details are on the way. The Racine Police Department is confirming the investigation of a homicide, but not much else at this point. A news release says officers responded to reports of gunshots near 16th and Phillips Avenue just before midnight. Fire department paramedics were told to look for a possible gunshot victim. A 20-year-old man was found in that area, but died of injuries. The major crimes unit was deployed, including several investigators. The medical examiner's office later contacted. Officers maintained a perimeter status throughout the morning and past daybreak. The scene also near the COP house on the north side of 16th Street. Police have otherwise said nothing about what happened, but they're asking for anybody with information to call their detective unit at 262-635-7756 or make it anonymous to Crime Stoppers of Racine County, 262-636-9330. Common Council in Burlington just now starting the process of deciding if a costly fix of the city's dispatch center is the way to go after the PD building's basement flooded, or maybe switch course and consider joining Racine County's Consolidated Dispatch, which took over operations when Burlington's capability failed. The discussion last week in Committee of the Whole included the services and the facilities access that the current group of five city dispatchers provide. Alderman Ruth Dowidziak, mentioning one personal experience with a need one night to use the police lobby, said she followed her father's advice on the phone to ward off some guy who was harassing her with his vehicle. She drove to the police building.
I did. I came here. The guy left. I went straight in. I was safe. What would my choice have been if I would have walked up to a closed door? And I know I can't, I'm the only person who's ever been in that situation. So to me, there is a value. We might save some money. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that'll shake out looking at numbers. But to me, what we're offered here, the above and beyond, is a huge value.
Police Chief Mark Anderson adamant when he said, "I don't think it's appropriate to consider closing our front door and our lobby, period."
I think we need to operationally, at the minimum, be open from normal business hours. We still have to have somebody who is accepting people at the front counter, who is routing calls, who is doing clerical duties. So as we talk about what the fate of the five dispatchers is going to be, just remember that we're also going to need to hire an additional officer. We're going to need to hire a clerical person, maybe a clerical person and a half or two clerical people.
Comments during the Committee of the Whole session told Burlington's administration more investigation of the county's dispatch operation versus the local setup is needed for the next discussion. A 23-year-old Racine man still at last report in critical condition at Fraidert Hospital from what the Sheriff's Department calls a tragic swimming accident at Quarry Lake Park over the weekend. The man struggling in the water, screaming for help, a good Samaritan went in, got to the victim and hauled him out, but while having to do so with a 4-inch fishing lure caught in his arm and had to be medically removed at Ascension All Saints Hospital, a news release indicating that it may have been the same lure and line that initially caught the first victim. U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs recently deciding to reconsider the grant funding of homeless services to Wisconsin veterans at facilities in Union Grove and at King after originally being denied fiscal year 2018 grants for the Housing and Recovery Program. U.S. Veterans Affairs Secretary Shulkin ordering the one-year reprieve, but the programs affected will have the one-year extension for allowing improvements of applications for future grant and per diem program funding. Wisconsin Veterans Affairs Secretary Dan Sullivan says he reads this to mean that funding will not be automatic in the future and with yet-to-be-defined criteria. The Democratic Party of Racine County tonight going to hold its monthly meeting at Reef Point Brewhouse Restaurant at Reef Point Marina. It'll begin at 7 o'clock. It is open to the public. The gathering to include a representative from the Racine Community Outreach Group. There will also be a conversation regarding the next elections. And 5 p.m. August the 22nd, that's 2 weeks and 1 day from today, the deadline to file the nominating papers to run for mayor in the city of Racine, which a total of 7 candidates at this point are targeting. One-time Milwaukee Brewers hitting instructor and former baseball great Don Baylor died overnight in Austin, Texas at the age of 68 after a 14-year battle with multiple myeloma. Baylor played 19 seasons in the major leagues. He was the 1979 American League MVP when he was with the California Angels. He also won a World Series title with the Minnesota Twins in 1987, later managing the Cubs for 3 seasons. The YWCA's 5.09 High School Equivalency Program has been launched in Racine County. A ceremony this morning at the Racine County Workforce Solutions Office on Taylor Avenue. On hand, County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, Mayor Dennis Weiser, Gateway President Brian Albrecht, and representatives of the YW. The High School Equivalency Program is based on schoolwork rather than standardized testing. It has a 94% graduation rate. The Bella Vita Banquet Hall in the Kenosha County town of Wheatland filled Sunday with people who donated items to raise money for flood victims. Also in attendance, some of the first responders, law enforcement officers, highway emergency personnel, and government officials. The Kenosha County Tavern League even sponsored a gun raffle. It raised $2,000 toward the cause. It was matched equally by the Tavern League of Wisconsin Districts 1 and 9, as well as the Wisconsin Tavern League Foundation. The initial estimates have the total raised in the neighborhood of $30,000. A program that's offered through the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Development Office is being cited by Wisconsin Emergency Management as one potential source of funding that could help area residents affected by recent flooding. WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
Very low and low-income residents who are seeking to purchase or repair a home in a rural area may qualify for funding from the USDA Rural Development Office. The Direct Home Loan Program offers financing to qualified applicants who are unable to qualify for traditional financing. The interest rate could be as low as 1% with a subsidy, and no down payment is required. Loans of up to $20,000 for repairs are available, along with grants of up to $7,500 for homeowners 62 years old or older for use to remove health and safety hazards, such as fixing a leaking roof or replacing a furnace. More information is available by calling the USDA Rural Redevelopment Program at 715-345-7611 or online at rd.usa.gov/WI. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
Another multi-page agenda for the Kenosha City Council, which meets at 7 o'clock tonight. Questioning of the candidate seeking to replace Kevin Matheson in the 8th District is on the agenda. He, of course, resigned because of moving to Summers. The council will then vote on his replacement. Mayor John Antaramian's recommendation to end the water employment trade program. This was set up during the last recession to offer free water to businesses that located in the city, but it was never used. A resolution from Alderman Daniel Prozanski that would allow the fire department to issue burning permits for use in city parks. That's until an ordinance creating a permitting process is adopted by the council. There's a first reading of an ordinance that would allow bonfires in the city with the proper permit, as well as an ordinance that requires a window in all hotel bedrooms. Racine firefighters dispatched about 7:10 this morning to the Jensen Towing Complex on North Green Bay Road near Batten Airport. A passerby observed dark smoke and flames from the site. Dispatch found nobody answering the phone there. Arriving crews then learned it was a vehicle on fire in the lot. Why it started on fire? Something for an investigator to try and determine. Well, if you're planning to view the solar eclipse on August the 21st, proper eye protection is a must. That's according to the Wisconsin Optometric Association's president, David Nelson, who says there are special glasses available.
When you look at the sun, you'll see the sun in its entirety, but it filters out the sight-threatening radiation that can cause major problems to vision.
He says the glasses rated safe for eclipse viewing will have the ISO safety marking and the number 12312-2. Take note, Wisconsin only supposed to have a partial eclipse on the 21st. Board of Directors for the Downtown Racine Corporation finds a replacement for Executive Director Devin Sutherland, who resigned last month ahead of his plans to go back to school. Kelly Cruz will officially take over in just about a month. She is listed as having been with DRC for about 2 years, her regular job, which she'll be giving up, in the advertising department at the Journal-Times. And take note that Random House's Little Golden Books bus tour touring the country to commemorate the 75th anniversary of Little Golden Books. They're stopping Wednesday in Racine at the Racine Public Library from 2 to 5 p.m. Visitors are welcome to come tour the bus and learn more about Golden Books, which used to be made by Western Publishing in Racine. The Racine Unified School Board's got a special meeting at 6 o'clock tonight. It's in Building 1 of the Administrative Services Campus. It's to take action on proposed revisions to the employee handbook. The teachers came out strongly opposed to the changes, President Angelina Cruz classifying it as the wrong move and lacking employee input. Tonight's agenda does not include the chance for public comment. After that, the school board then shifts into work session mode. The agenda for that includes the latest on the middle school plan. One of the last components to Racine Unified's English language arts instruction is the Spanish Classroom Library Supplement, which the Board of Education recently approved. Robin Rivas, noting that the district offers a research-based dual-language two-way immersion program for some 900 students, said it's both in English and Spanish speaking at its 7 elementary schools.
The goal of the dual-language program is bilingualism and biliteracy. Core instruction in this program model is taught both in English and in Spanish from kindergarten through fifth grade at the elementary level. Reading is first taught in Spanish to all students in kindergarten through first grade. In second grade, students transition into English reading by transferring skills that they've acquired in Spanish. From third grade through fifth grade, students are learning English language arts and Spanish language arts equally.
She said the instruction has embedded the district's adopted workshop model into its biliteracy framework for grades K-5.
In the workshop model, independent reading allows students to apply skills they're learning in class through self-selected texts. Spanish classroom libraries will allow for enough selection in Spanish, similar to the already approved English classroom libraries, so that students have a choice in their learning in two languages as they move towards biliteracy. We are requesting your support to approve the purchase of supplementary authentic Spanish classroom libraries for kindergarten through fifth grade dual language classrooms to be used beginning with the 2017-2018 school year.
And she noted the classes are full. Total cost on the supplements for the library, just under $59,000. Caledonia Village Board, ahead of its regular business meeting at 7 o'clock tonight, has a special closed session at 6 p.m. to confer with the village's attorney on what's listed as likely litigation about the sex offender residency ordinance. It's being recommended for some amendments to the restrictions in response to court decisions, a process being undertaken really by most governing bodies. The amendments include a small safe zone and a fee to appeal to a newly created panel on residency. Still time to get some of that outdoor work done, some of those projects you got around the house, or perhaps that you still have some work in the yard that needs to be done due to the heavy recent rains. Either way, it could mean a call to Digger's Hotline, or at least that's what you should be doing before you stick a shovel in the ground. Spokesman Chad Kruger says that call to 811 could be very important. You really don't know just how deep those utility lines in your yard are, and even if you think you know, odds are they've changed.
Even if a line is installed at a certain depth, changes occur. There could be landscaping projects that occur, and you take a couple feet off the top and put another couple feet over here. And you don't know how deep it is, even if you think it was installed at the proper depth. That changes over time.
And he says you need to call Digger's Hotline 3 business days before you plan that digging.
Working days doesn't include state holidays. It doesn't include weekends. So if you call on a Monday or a Tuesday, you're going to be fine to dig on the weekend.
Kruger says digging without knowing where the lines are can be really dangerous if you hit a power or a gas line, or expensive if you hit a cable or internet line. You're going to have to cough up on the repairs. A section of Highway C in Kenosha County closes tomorrow morning for emergency repairs. Damaged by flooding, that road to be closed to allow the crews to replace a 56-foot-long, 48-inch diameter culvert just west of Highway D. Those repairs are to be done by Racine's A.W. Oaks and Son. The road to be closed until Friday. Mount Pleasant Police and Sturtevant Police Departments teaming up now through August the 25th. The challenge against the South Shore Fire Department to get as many school supplies donated before kids go back to the classroom. The challenge, it's really on the public, donating school items either in the blue bins for the police department or the red bins for the fire department. Whoever has the most wins. If the firefighters win, the police officers have to wash a fire engine. If the police win, the firefighters have to wash some squad cars. Drop-off bins are at the 22nd and Mead Street COP House, the Mount Pleasant and Sturtevant Village Halls, Malicki's Piggly Wiggly on Washington Avenue, and the Durand Avenue Farm and Fleet Store. The winner to be announced at the Police Fire Softball Fundraiser on August the 27th at Haven Park. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.